Welcome to New Life Church Podcast. Fresh and relevant teaching from New Life Church in Birmingham. For more information on New Life Church, please check out our website, www.nlc-billingham.com.
Bless God. I believe that this series that we're starting this morning, which is going to take us into July, and you've got the dates there on the cards that you should have been given as you came in this morning, is a very important series in the life of the fellowship. We do have in New Life a recognized church membership. Some of you here this morning are part of that membership, the recognized membership. And if you're a part of that membership, you will have been through some teaching classes called the belonging class that has brought you into membership here at New Life. The reasons we have membership in New Life, and really the benefits of being in membership, first of all, it identifies a person's individual personal profession in Jesus Christ. It also provides a spiritual family to support and encourage people in their walk with Jesus. It gives us all a place to discover and use our spiritual gifts and the gifts that God has given us in ministry. It places us under the protection of godly leaders, the spiritual protection. And it gives us the accountability that we need to grow. And another reason, it's because proper church order is our responsibility under Charity Commission legislation. And part of that Charity Commission legislation that we are under tells us that we have to have a recognized membership role. This morning we are beginning the first of five teaching sessions that will lead to a recommitment to church membership. At our AGM meeting in July, our current membership will cease and a new membership will be formed. Let me just explain what will be required for those who recommit themselves. That means those who haven't had the opportunity come to New Life but haven't had the opportunity to go through the belonging class. And those who are already members here at New Life, in July at the AGM, the current membership role will cease. And people will have the opportunity to recommit themselves to a new criteria of membership that we are going to explain over these next sessions that we have together. There'll be five requirements for those who wish to become members here at New Life. First of all, one of the requirements will be that you will have had to have listened to all of the five teaching sessions. And that criteria will also roll on after this is all over. And new people come in over the months and the years, they too will have to go through these teaching sessions that we are now teaching on a Sunday morning. And you will have had to have listened to all five. And the card that you've been given today will just help you to identify the five teaching sessions that we're having. And when you've listened to them, if you're not able to be here on the dates that are identified, then please make sure that you get the CDs or the DVDs. The other requirements before membership can be taken, you will have to have a personal profession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, you will have to have been baptized in water by immersion as a public example of your faith in Jesus. You will have to understand the statements of belief, our belief statements, our statements of faith. And everyone will be given a copy of those statements of faith, and you'll be able to look at them, and we want every member to agree with them. If you can't agree with them, you would have a hard job not to agree with them because they're from the Bible. But you will have to sign off to say that you've understood them and you believe in them. And then we'll require, finally, a membership covenant that you will make before God and before other members of the local body of believers. This membership covenant will be signed by you to say that you fully understand what is involved in being part of the body of Christ here at New Life. Although the term church member is never used in the Bible, the concept of commitment is implicit as we read through the New Testament. Christian believers clearly identify themselves with a specific local fellowship. A fellowship in which they were challenged to function and become actively involved and committed with and to. Instead of the word membership, I prefer the scriptural word partnership. Paul used this word when he spoke to the church in Philippi. In Philippians chapter 1 verse 5, Paul refers to their partnership in the gospel. And I would prefer that we referred to members as partners and not members. I'm indebted to a book written by Rick Warren on the purpose-driven church for these comments. He writes, C.S. Lewis once wrote an essay on church membership, reminding us that the word membership is of Christian origin, but it has been taken over by the world and emptied of all of its original meaning. Today, most people associate the term membership with paying dues, meaningless rituals, silly rules and handshakes, and having your name on some dusty roll. Paul, however, had a very different image of membership. To him, being a member of the church did not refer to some cold induction into an institution, but rather it meant becoming a vital organ of a living body. And you can see that, can't you, in Corinthians when he talks about the hand and the foot. And he talks about the importance of every member in the body and every member joining together to make the body grow. He goes on, we need to reclaim this image. Any organ that is detached from the body will not only miss what it was created to be, it will also shrivel and die quickly. The same is true for Christians that are uncommitted to any specific congregation. Rick Warren writes, the incorporation of new members into your church fellowship, it does not happen automatically. If you don't have a system and a structure to assimilate and keep the people you reach, they won't stay with your church. You'll have as many people going out the back of your church as are coming in at the front. Many churches mistakenly assume that once a person has received Christ, the sale has been consummated, and it is now up to the new believer to follow through with his commitment and join the church. This is nonsense. New believers don't know what they need. It is the church's responsibility to take the initiative in assimilating new people into the congregation. I believe that when God wants to deliver a bunch of baby Christians, he looks around for the warmest incubator he can find. Churches that make new member assimilation a priority and have a plan for doing it are usually blessed with growth. In contrast, churches that don't care about new members or are haphazard in assimilating them, they don't grow. And we can all say amen to that. Amen. I trust you heard what the prophetic word was saying this morning, that God is doing something new amongst us. We've got to look and see and what the Spirit of God is doing. Friends, when we are talking about membership or partnership, I want us to understand what it isn't. It's not clubship. It's not belonging to a club or a society where you pay your dues, you sign on the line, and because of doing that, you expect a service. Let me say this morning, our basis of belonging together is love, number one. It's mutual commitment to each other and not a list of constitutional rules. That's not to say that we don't have guidelines. And over the basis of this teaching course, we will be relating to what is necessary for us to have as a fellowship of believers in Christ. Belonging to a church, becoming a church member, is more than an institution or belonging to an establishment. An institution is an organization that is set up to promote an ideal. Can I say we are not here primarily to promote the fellowship? We are here out of love and devotion to God to build the kingdom of God. Amen? There's a tremendous purpose why we're here. The Church of Jesus Christ is not like a political party or even a democracy where a meeting is called. Sometimes they call it the AGM. And everyone comes along, and everyone who comes along can have a say. Let me say, friends, as far as God is concerned, major decisions in the Church of Jesus Christ are made by God-appointed leaders. Can I say this? The Church of Jesus Christ will never function biblically, correctly, effectively, without God-appointed leaders. Being a part of a local church, it's a biblical concept. The Bible clearly teaches that believers are not to function in isolation. How many know God's called us to be together? Not to be isolated, but in committed relationship to a local body of believers. We're living in an age where there are so many extremes in church life. And some of you might have come across them. Extremes of heavy shepherding. Extremes of membership agreements, which place a great burden on individuals and families. Let me say at the outset, friends, as we are introducing this new criteria for membership here at New Life, or partnership, I like the word partnership. We are not here to lay heavy burdens upon people. We are not here to put binding restrictions upon the people of God. Our chief aim as leaders in this church is to set God's people free. Amen? To liberate them so that they become all that God wants them to be. Let my people go that they might serve me. For too long, God's people have been in a straitjacket. For too long, friends, God's people have not been free to be to express their lives in the way that God wanted them to be. And it's not our desire as leaders to put any binding restrictions on people who would become partners with us here at New Life. At the end of these five sessions, you will all have a clear idea of what really is expected of those who will become partners here at New Life. And what goes, when I'm talking about New Life, I'm talking about all three churches. I'm talking about Billingham, Redcar, and Stockton. We should all have a clear idea. And the title of the message that I want to share this morning is The Importance of Being Planted in the House. And if you'll turn with me to Psalm 92, I want to read a few verses starting from verse 12. Psalm 92, reading from verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Flourish in the courts of our God. Notice those who are going to flourish. It's those who are planted. And really, the question that I want to begin with this morning to ask you is this. Has God planted you in this house? That is a fundamental question. It's going to form the basis, friends, of everything else that we talk about. John Bevere, in the teaching that we've been having on Driven by Eternity, says this: you do not choose which church you go to. That is a staggering statement, isn't it? You do not choose which church you go to, but God does. You can't join a church. The Bible says the Lord adds to the church those who are being saved. Being part of a healthy church is essential to living a healthy life. Friends, can I say God has a great purpose for our lives? Do you believe that? You are not here by chance, you are here by destiny. There is a purpose for your life. God has a great plan for every one of us. And he's created the church to meet man's five deepest needs. What are they? A purpose to live for. Everybody needs a purpose to live for. A people to live with. Principles to live by. A profession to live out, and power to live on. And let me say this morning, there is no other place on earth that you can find all five of these benefits in one place than in the Church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ is the greatest thing on this earth. Friends, you can't join it, but God can add you to it. The church. The Church of Jesus is a place where our deepest needs are met and God's purposes are worked out in our lives. Worship that helps us to focus on God. Fellowship that helps us as we face life's problems. Discipleship that helps fortify our faith. Ministry that helps us to find our talents. And evangelism that helps us to fulfill the mission that God has for us. There is nothing else on earth like the church. The church that Jesus said, I will build. The church that we've been added to. Friends, when we were born again, the miracle took place. And we were added to the church of Jesus Christ. It is God who plants us in a local body of believers. One sows, another waters, but God gives the increase. He said, I will build my church. And how does he do it? By people being born again and added into the kingdom of God. And brought into the family of God. Friends, his purposes are worked out in our lives on a daily basis. Isaiah 61 says, we become the planting of the Lord. That you and I become the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Everything that we do is to bring glory to Jesus. Planting of the Lord. I think this morning it's good to remind ourselves that we haven't always been in the house of God. they that are planted in the house of the Lord. Friends, there was a time every one of us weren't planted in the house of the Lord. There was a time, friends, in fact, we had been transplanted. In other words, we always haven't been in the church. We were in a place, friends, an environment totally different to where we find ourselves this morning. We were in a place of barrenness, a place of need, a place of want. I'm not a gardener, but they tell us that plants need a lot of light to grow. They've got to have the right soil to grow in, so that they might flourish. But every one of us were in a place of darkness, fruitlessness. We're in a barren place. But thank God this morning the miracle happened, and we've been taken out of darkness and brought into His most marvelous light. We've been transplanted out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We've been brought out of a place of want into a place of plenty. A place of lack into a place of an abundance. Hallelujah. A place, friends, where God is. A place of fruitlessness where our lives weren't productive. And we didn't know where we were going. And we had no purpose in life. Now into a place of fruitfulness. In fact, that's the whole purpose of our lives, you know. That we are fruitful. That we bear fruit. John 15, that whole chapter of the vine and abiding in the vine. Jesus goes on to say, I have ordained you, commissioned you, that you go and bring forth fruit. So shall you be my disciples. It's an evidence of being a disciple of Jesus that we will be fruitful in life. That we will have fruitful lives. Joseph, the Bible says, that young boy who at 17 years of age was sold into slavery. A prophetic word came over his life by his father Jacob. Joseph shall be a fruitful bough. His branches will hang over the wall. Friends, how fruitful was the life of Joseph that we still look at and emulate, seek to emulate today. God wants us to be fruitful in every good work, the Bible says. Psalm 92 verse 13 says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall what? Shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. They shall still bring forth fruit in what? Old age. In other words, there'll never be a time when they'll not be being fruitful, growing and developing in God. Friends, I thank God for our friendship hour. Let me tell you, some of the folk there are getting on in years, but they're alive. Hallelujah. They're alive to the purposes of God. They're not rusting out. They're not retiring. The purposes of God, even in old age, are being worked out in their lives. Whenever a child is born, he or she automatically becomes part of the human family here on earth. The universal family. But that child also needs to become a member of a specific family to receive nurture and care and to grow up healthy and strong. The same is true of us spiritually. When we were born again, we automatically became part of the universal family of God. But we also need to become a member of a local expression of God's family. Kevin mentioned it this morning, so that we can call each other brothers and sisters. That we are born into a family, added into a family. None of us would be at any lack or loss to find an expression of God's family here in the Tees Valley. None of us would be at a loss to find other expressions of the body of Christ. In fact, friends, there are plenty of churches here in the Tees Valley that you could go to. No lack of churches. Even in TVCA, we've got about 120 who've committed themselves to prayer for renewal and transformation in the Tees Valley. That's only a small percentage of the churches in this valley. But this morning, you are here. For some of you, you find yourselves here at New Life because for some, this is the only church that you've ever known. You have been born again in this church. You have grown and developed and matured here at New Life. And you've never known any other body apart from this one. And I can look across the congregation and several people would fit into that category. You know, of not knowing anything else outside of what happens here at New Life. For others, New Life is not the first church that you've been in. There was a time when you were in another body of believers. You belong to another church. But you're not there anymore. You're here. And there's a reason you're here. Maybe you're here because, well, it's a little closer to where you live. Others are here because they've moved locality. They've come from one part of the country to the Tees Valley. And again, looking across the congregation, our latest ones, I think, are Pete and Sarah, coming from Brentwood in Essex into this new locality. I think of Audu and Elizabeth. I think of Hugo and Lisa and Richard and Temi. They've come from another locality. Sheena and Richard came from Morecambe over into this locality. And they found themselves here at New Life. And for others, maybe you're here this morning because whatever body you belong to prior to coming here, there was a time when you didn't feel connected anymore. Maybe you began to feel a little bit isolated, as though you really didn't belong. Maybe you were in a fellowship where you experienced difficulties, or you found no place where you could grow any longer and develop as a Christian. And you've come to be with us here at New Life. I do believe that God moves people from one church to another. I do believe he moves people on. But I just want to clarify that by saying this. There are others, friends, who move churches, and 90% of the time they move because of a problem that could be sorted out in the church where they've moved from. And they think by moving church, they come to another church and the problem's sorted. Listen, friends, we all come with baggage. And sometimes people can go from one church to another because they've fallen out with somebody. And that situation could be resolved if it was done in a godly way. And I believe some people move for all the wrong reasons, that it could be worked through if they stayed. When we are looking at partnership and membership, I believe that this question that I'm asking is absolutely fundamental. Do you know, have you got the realization in your heart that God's planted you in this house? And you know why God has put you here? That you might flourish. That you might flourish in the courts of your God. That word flourish means to thrive, to prosper, to be at the peak of condition, to be healthy, to become all that God has purposed us to be in our lives. Even in old age, we are flourishing. There is purpose, there's destiny. Have you got that assurance this morning? Have you got the assurance this morning that I didn't just join this church, but God has planted me here? Let me tell you, friends, when you know that, you'll be in it for the long haul. You'll be in it through thick and through thin. You'll be in it in good times and in bad times. I've been here 30 years. 30 years in May. Is it May now? It is. 30 years ago, I was inducted as the new leader of this church. And over those 30 years, I guess like every other leader, I've had opportunities to go elsewhere to pastor and lead other churches. Some a lot bigger than this, some smaller. But over those 30 years, friends, whenever those opportunities have come, I've found no release to go. My daughter says, "You're too settled, Dad." But let me tell you, I'm not a settler, I'm a pilgrim. I've got my heart set on pilgrimage. And I've had no release to go because I do not believe that the purpose God has called me here for in the first place was ever fulfilled. I still feel it's still ongoing. And when we hear prophetic words like that this morning, it encourages me to know that God is doing something. Something new, and we've got to have our eyes to see what God's doing in the fellowship. It's vitally important to have a definite sense of calling. A sense, friends, of God calling us and bringing our lives and joining us together as one. We're not here because we feel like it. We're not here because we fit in. Some people come because they feel as though they fit in. We're not here just because of that. We're not even here because we've got an ability or a talent that God wants to use for the extension of his kingdom. Or we're not even here because we feel a part of it. We are here because God has called us. God has called us together, and whom he calls, he's committed to keep together. When we know God's call upon our lives to be planted where God's put us, let me tell you, friends, we can call upon God's resources to keep us together. Even when it gets difficult. How many know church life's not always plain sailing? How many know that one day somebody's going to get up your nose? When that happens, friends, God wants us to sort that relationship out. And even when we get offended, and it's impossible that we'll walk through this life without getting offended or hurt. When we get hurt, friends, if God has called us here, let me tell you this, God will help us to deal with those hurts and bring healing to them. And he'll give us the will and the power to forgive those who trespass against us. And bring us together in a... You see, friends, the way the world deals with things is totally different to the way God expects his children to deal with them. Somebody gets on your nose, up your nose, or says something to you, you'll either have a row with them, you'll walk away from them, you'll avoid them. There'll be a distance between you and them. Let me tell you, God has a way of sorting these things out. God has a perfect plan to sort out all these areas. When we know that God's call is on our lives and brought us to this place, we can trust each other to stay. Even when there are disagreements, and there will be. Even when there is confrontation, and at times there will be. Even at times when there's discipline to be administered, a sense of purpose, a sense of God's calling on our lives, it anchors us. It stops us from drifting. It's very unlikely that you will ever find a church that at some time you don't feel like running away from. Very unlikely. Let me ask you a question, friends. Again, Have you got the assurance that God has planted you in this house? Have you got that assurance? Let me tell you, it will make all the difference. It will make all the difference between being a church attender and a church member. A church member is committed. And we've got a whole session where we'll talk about commitment. Attenders are spectators from the sidelines. Members get involved in the ministry. Attenders are consumers. Give me, give me, give me. Partners, members are contributors. They would rather give than take. Attenders want the benefits of a church without sharing the responsibility. It's like a couple who want to live together without committing themselves to getting married. They want all the benefits without making a commitment. That is why, friends, it's important to become partners in a local church family. It proves that you are committed to your spiritual brothers and sisters in reality and not just in theory. God wants us to love real people. And if you turn to the person next to you, they're real people. God wants us, the Bible says, we have to love each other as God loves us. Some Christians, they often spend their lifetime searching for the perfect church. Let me tell you this. If you are searching for the perfect church, when you find it, don't join it. You'll spoil it. Because you are imperfect. We are called to love imperfect people just as God does. Unconditionally. Warts and all. Friends, God wants me to love you despite of all your frailties and imperfections. God expects you to love me with all mine as well. The Christian life is more than just a commitment to Christ. It includes a commitment to other Christians. God has called us to belong and not just to believe. Listen, friends, to grow and develop, it's not just a matter of believing, it's a matter of belonging. We will never grow unless we belong. You can believe all you want. Today we live in a culture of independence, individualism. And that culture that we're living in, it's created many spiritual orphans. Bunny believers. You know a rabbit? Bunny believers. You know what they do? They hop around from one church to another without ever identifying themselves with a group of people who they are committed to. Without any accountability or commitment, they just keep jumping from one place to another. Many believe you can be a good Christian without joining or even attending church, a local church. I want to tell you, friends, God would strongly disagree with that. The Bible offers many compelling reasons for being committed and active in a local church. And over these next four sessions, we'll be looking at some of them. The Bible says a Christian without a church home, without a sense of belonging, is like an organ, a member of the body. An organ without a body. It's like a sheep without a flock. A child without a family. A footballer without a football team. It's like a soldier without a regiment. In other words, friends, it's a totally unnatural condition. The Bible says you belong in God's household with every other Christian. Ephesians 2 verse 19. When people outside look at this church, To them, it's that church. That church. If you are attending this church, you will look at this church as this church. To them, it's that church. If all you do is attend, it's this church that I go to. But let me tell you, friends, if you've got a sense of belonging, it will be our church. There'll be a sense of commitment. There'll be a sense of ownership. It'll no longer be this or that. It'll be our church. Hallelujah. I'm proud to belong to our church. I'm really proud to belong to it, friends. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That out of how many years I've got to live, God has put me here for 30 years to grow and develop and to fulfill the calling of God upon my life and the purpose that God has got for me. Friends, a sense of destiny. It's an overwhelming sense that we're just not here. Listen to what the scripture says again. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing. Hallelujah. What a description of those who are planted in the house. Do you know that God has planted you in this house? It'll make all the difference. It'll make all the difference. We're not just coming to church. Friends, we are in something that is indescribable. It's called the Church of the Living God. An organism. A living organism that functions and grows and develops when every part does its share. I pray that God will give every one of us that sense of purpose. That sense of destiny upon our lives. That calling from God. Hallelujah. God, I'm here because you planted me here. Do you know that? Friends, if you don't know that, what we're going to share in the next four sessions will be really not relevant to you. That's why this is foundational. If you are looking to become partners with us here at New Life, you've got to know that God's planted you here. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that that sense of purpose, that sense of destiny, that calling, God, that you are making upon our lives, I pray this morning, Lord, we'll embrace it. My Heavenly Father, I pray that, Lord, that deep sense of purpose, why we're alive, and why we find ourselves sitting here this morning. We could have been anywhere else. We could have been in umpteen number of other churches. But for some reason, oh God, that perhaps eternity will only reveal, you have brought us here. You have brought us here, oh God, to see the kingdom of God extended, to see the name of Jesus glorified, to see the church being built, to become partners together in the gospel. Father, I thank you for every one that you are joining together. I pray this morning for the unity of the Spirit. I pray this morning, oh God, that what man cannot do in joining us together, I pray for the unity of the Spirit, Lord, to bond our hearts together, bond our lives together, that with one mind and one heart and one mouth, we'll be able to declare the goodness of God. Lord, I read in the early church that they were together. They had all things in common. There was a sense of purpose and destiny upon that church in Jerusalem, oh God. that they knew that they'd come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You've already said this morning that the wind of the Spirit is blowing. And you've got to open our eyes, oh God, to see what you're doing. I pray, Lord, this morning you'll open our eyes to see what you're doing. That, Lord, from us, Lord, from this small company of people now, I thank you for the thousands of people, oh God, that we're going to be affected. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us the privilege of affecting so many lives over the years. And Lord, I pray that we'll make a mark for you upon our generation. That when the time comes like David, we will fall asleep. We will go to be with you. That, Lord, it will be able to be said of us, like it was said of David, that he served his generation in the will of God. So, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to fulfill the purposes of God for our lives and to know that, Lord, we are the planting of the Lord, that you have planted us in this house. And I pray, Lord, for anyone here this morning who doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. Let me tell you, friend, Jesus loves you. He died on a cross to save you, and he wants to come into your life. This morning you've been exposed to people and to worship, people who love God, and to worship that brings Jesus honor. And if this morning you'll open your life and you'll say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Come into my life. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. I give my life to you. I open my heart and I ask you to come in and to be my Savior. If you will do that this morning, you can know the joy of sins forgiven, peace with God, and a wonderful assurance of eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life. While every head is bowed, while every eye is closed, if there is someone here this morning who has not yet given their life to Jesus Christ, let me tell you, friends, this is your morning. You're not here by chance. You are here by divine appointment. And if there's someone here this morning who is not yet a Christian, you believe in God, but this is the moment, this is the day when you're making Jesus Christ your personal Savior, your Lord. Will you just raise your hand? I'll see it. I'll ask you to put it down. Is there someone here this morning who's not yet a Christian, but you're asking Jesus right now to save you? Is there someone here? Thank you, Jesus. We praise you.